Good morning, everyone. So we're going to continue this with the series that Dave started last week. So Dave started our Staying Positive series last week, and Dave was looking at Romans 8 about the great hope that we have in Christ. And he spoke very powerfully, actually, about how the law of the Spirit set us free from the law of sin and death. And today, it's my job to kind of continue with that. And we're going to be looking at staying positive, but we're going to be looking at staying thankful. When Dave kind of talked to me about sort of bringing the next part of the series, I was like, oh, cool, quite excited. So what verse are we going to use for this? How are we going to, bring the word this time around? And then he gave me the verse, and I was like, oh, great. Thanks, Dave. Very challenging, because he's given me a verse that basically almost everybody knows. And so that presents his own challenges, because when you've got a verse that everybody knows, it's hard to make sure that people are still listening. So even though it's a popular passage and most people know it, I'm kind of hoping that we're going to learn something new from it today. So if you guys would just kind of bear with me and work with me as we kind of work our way through this. So our main text today is going to be Philippians 4, and we're going to be reading from the New International Version, verses 6 and 7. I like it. Slides are just moving by themselves. I don't have to do anything. I love this automated version. There we go. And it reads, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus." So as I said, quite interesting, quite challenging to bring something new for this. But I guess for me, when I was reading through this and kind of preparing for this, I think the first thing that kind of caught me is, you know, Paul gave an instruction saying, do not be anxious about anything. And I guess I just kind of thought to myself, he can't be serious, right? Anything? He can't be. So I thought, who was Paul writing to? You know? And then I thought, oh yeah, he's writing to the church at Philippi. So he's writing to the Philippians, right? And I was just thinking to myself, they must like be living in Eden or something. I mean, how can you say, do not be anxious about anything, you know? And I just thought, if we were in our present day age and a church leader were to come out to us right now and say to us, do not worry about anything, you can imagine the outrage that that would kind of bring up with everyone, right? You know, do not worry about anything? Surely not. So I thought, you know what? That's an outrageous statement. So I'm going to need to reply to Paul. I'm going to need to set him straight, right? He can't say, do not worry about anything. You know? That's insensitive. That's out of touch. You know? So I started thinking, okay, what kind of things do we actually worry about anyway? What kind of things are we anxious about anyway, right? And I thought, yeah, I'm going to write back to Paul. I'm going to let him know, right? So I started off my letter. So I'm going to do this now. Say, dear Paul of Tarsus, we are post-Brexit Britain. We are post-pandemic Britain. And we have a lot to worry about. Like, I don't know, I'm a bit stuck in this bit. Can you guys kind of help me out? So what kind of things do we have to worry about? I'm going to just start off with like the economy, right? Can anybody think of anything else?
Petrol.
Definitely need to worry about petrol. There you go. My letter's coming good now. What else?
Empty shelves in the supermarket.
Empty shelves in the, oh yeah, very related. Empty shelves in the supermarket. Okay, got that. Cool. Anything else?
No, looks like I ran out. Okay, that's fine. And I thought, okay, that's good. So I'm writing my letter. And then halfway through writing my letter, I started thinking to myself, hang on, what am I worried about? Right? At this particular point in time, what's causing me anxiety? You know? And next slide. I've got two daughters. Look at them looking nice and cute over there. They don't look like that anymore. So I've got two daughters, and I must admit, my biggest worry is that they're growing up too quickly. My eldest is now at the point where she's a preteen. She's 12 years old, almost at 13. And I must admit, the thing I notice a lot is just her just having this like very labored sigh once in a while. So once in a while you just hear her go, ah, you know. And I must admit, most of the time, it's for no reason whatsoever. At least no reason that I can discern anyway. She just walks around, ah. And then sometimes she would go, ah, Daddy, you're so embarrassing. And then I started wondering, hang on, how did I go from Daddy, you're the best, to Daddy, you're so embarrassing. So I guess that's kind of how life goes sometimes, right? My biggest worry is that I'm turning into an embarrassing dad. That's the biggest worry I have right now. Don't forget about petrol, forget about economy. I'm an embarrassing dad. So I guess I might need to get some help from you guys later on to help me to see how I can kind of stay cool in my child's eyes, if that's actually ever possible. But anyway, seriously, let's move on. So Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. So don't worry about anything. I started asking myself, hang on, but what would, you know, let's forget about Paul, right? Let's go higher. Let's go to the top, you know? What would God make of all of this, you know? Don't worry about anything. Does worrying actually affect God? Does worrying actually affect how God acts? I started thinking about that, and having kind of thought that through, I'm convinced that basically our worrying does not affect God. Actually, whether we worry or not does not change God's view on the matter, and it does not affect how he responds. So then I thought, hang on, if that's the case, why would God care? In fact, why does it even matter? Why would God care if we worry or not? Well, the truth of the matter is we know that worrying definitely affects us as human beings, right? And God cares for us. Worrying affects our body and can lead to pain in our bodies. Worrying causes stress, and stress can definitely negatively affect us and affect, I guess, our sleep, for one thing. Worrying can often lead even to depression. So when I thought about all of that, now that sort of outrageous statement of do not be anxious about anything or do not worry about anything starts to become a little bit more reasonable. Could it be that this is why we are being instructed not to worry? And then I thought, hang on. If worrying is so bad for us, surely I could find somewhere else that can corroborate this, right? Surely Jesus would have had something to say about the matter, right? So, before we move on, I think it would be helpful to see what Jesus had to say about worrying. Don't you? So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 27. And Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?" Interesting. So Jesus also instructs us not to worry. And actually, he goes beyond that because he actually explains that we are worrying about things that we need, but worrying doesn't help us to control anything because we're actually not in control of anything. So why do we worry? Then I started to remember that song that we used to sing in the old days, at least when I was younger. Why worry when you can pray? And that kind of is what Philippians 4 is saying, right? Do not be anxious about anything, but instead, in all every situation, pray. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So clearly, we are being encouraged to be more prayerful instead of worrying, right? It says in every situation, right? So when the economy is bad, when there's not a lot of petrol, we ask to pray and to ask. And for me, I just kind of, when I look at words, I always kind of, especially when I'm looking at a passage in scripture, I always kind of look at the choice of the words that they use, because I think there's meaning in those words as well, right? There's impact in how those words have been chosen. I remember when I was learning about the Bible, and there was a documentary I kind of watched, and it spoke about how, you know, paper was very scarce, right? So in those days, so literally you have to have the art of being able to say what you want to say in a very short sentence, right? You need to learn how to kind of communicate in shorter sentences, because, you know, paper is not like now, you know, got loads of paper and just kind of write whatever you want to write, and you might chuck a few away and all that kind of stuff. But paper was quite precious. So when you want to write something, you don't just kind of pick up a pen and start writing. You must think first, you know, try and work out what you're trying to say. And so I was quite interested in that word that they've just kind of plonked in the middle there. And that's the word that they use, which is petition. And I thought, petitions are pretty formal, right? Petitions are always also very specific, right? And what I liked about it was petitions are also usually addressed to an authority figure. So you would write a petition, you write it to someone who's in authority, and you make a specific sort of request. So you're writing to someone who basically has the ability to act, the ability to do something about it. So that's why you write a petition. And those petitions are also usually signed by a number of people, right? So it's a way of sort of giving strength to that request, you know, giving credence to it. So people are joining in that request. And that started to give me a little bit of a moment. I just kind of thought. I thought about corporate prayer and how it was very similar to this petitioning, right? We've got specific requests, we all come together, and we pray. and we say amen, because we sign off to that as being the thing that we need. So this is why I'm kind of doing that little plug for you, Kanye. Prayer meeting tomorrow. You have an opportunity to petition God. And I just kind of wonder sometimes as well what our attitude should be, right, towards prayer. So it talks a little bit about that in that verse, because it says, you know, in every situation, pray, in every situation, ask, in every situation you're petitioning. And, you know, thinking back to my daughters, and that's part of the reason why I said they are not allowed to be here today. I know that my preteen, Eliana, definitely, she knows how to ask, right? And she's at that age where she kind of like, she wants everything, right? And the problem we're having is she's now quite grown up, because she's basically the same size as her mom, right? So most of the things that she actually wants, they are becoming a little bit expensive. But I love how she never ever considers the cost of what she wants. She just literally considers the fact that she wants it, right? And so all day long, you get, Daddy, I want this. Daddy, I want that. Now, interestingly, on the other hand, my younger daughter, she also asks, and she never ever thinks about the cost of what she wants. And she asks for a lot of things as well, actually. Yeah. But somehow when she asks, I kind of feel obligated to act. But when my preteen does, I kind of have a different response towards her request. And that started making me wonder if the attitude with which they ask actually affects my response, right? If the attitude with which they're asking is what's making me behave slightly differently. And then I started to wonder again if the attitude with which we ask might affect the way in which we get a response. So it reminded me of a passage in the Bible that I found, which is Luke 17. I think we've got it coming up. And it's verse 11 to 19. I'll read it for you. And it says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the borders between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. He stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back. Praising God in a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise up and go, your faith has made you well. One returned and thanked him. A foreigner. I wonder if sometimes we don't take enough time to return and thank, right? I wonder if thank you is becoming a bit scarce in our vocabulary these days. I kind of remember during the pandemic, we had the Thank the NHS Thursdays or Thank the Key Workers Thursdays, a day where we were able to kind of come out and say thank you to all those who were helping us through what was a very difficult time. So the nurses, the teachers, oh God, I'm so grateful for teachers. Home learning makes you extremely grateful for teachers. The bin men and all the other kind of key workers that were there to help us. And we just stood outside and, you know, gave a hand and, you know, made some noise and just said thank you. And I'm just wondering, if we actually said thank you to Jesus, you know, for seeing us through that situation as well, seeing us through that period and seeing us through that time, and if we did anything externally to outwardly say thank you for guiding us through what was a very, very difficult time. I think everybody admits to the fact that it was a difficult time and that we needed help, right? And we needed to be helped to get through it. But I just wonder how much we said thank you. Or did we just kind of move on to the next problem? Moved on to the next worry? Moved on to the next sort of concern? I don't know. I'm not kind of preaching out of a position of strength here. I'm not saying that I'm, you know, the best at saying thank you. But it was something that sort of I got convicted about to say, I need to do that a bit more. So I'm just going to do that now. I'm just going to say, thank you, Jesus. Okay? And I'm just going to encourage you. You can say it out loud. You can say it in your heart. You can say it whichever way you want. But I'm going to say thank you. So I'm saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Gracias, Señor. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for being there for us. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. When we kind of weigh up the things that we're going through and that we need right now, anything that we are currently lacking with what we've already been given freely, when we really recognize that we've been adopted into God's family, we start to lose all of that desire to be anxious and worried and be in control of whatever it may be that we think we need to be in control of, as we begin to recognize that we are no longer slaves, as Dave preached. Now we're children. We're sons and daughters of the living God. You see, the thing is, orphans and slaves, they worry, right? They worry because they have no one else to help them with their problems, right? So they worry rightly because they just don't have any help. But the truth of the matter is that sons don't worry. They shouldn't worry. We can live worry-free because we know that we have a Father. And we know that we have a Father who cares for us and that is always on our side. We have a Father that's just not on our side, but is also ready to help us, right? And it's always good to have a Father that is there and a Father that is ready to help you. But I think for me, one of the things I always have to try and remember is that we also have a Father that is capable. We have a Father that is able to help us. I am a father. I've got two girls. I love them, you know, to bits, and I try to be there for them all the time. The truth of the matter is there's certain things that I'm just not capable of doing, right? There's some things that I just can't do for them. So let's try and stay positive, right? Let's try and stay positive by not worrying, by praying, but in prayer, let us understand that we're not praying to someone who can't do anything about the situation. We're not writing a petition to an official who's not interested, and we need to convince him to do this. This is not one of those formal situations where you kind of get as much backing as possible just so they can consider your request. We're writing to and praying to our Father. And once we do that, it kind of changes a lot. It changes our attitude, changes our mentality, changes our focus, right? Because now we're more likely to start counting our blessings. Now we're more likely to consciously choose to be thankful. When I was going through the preparation, I kind of looked at the word thankful, you know, and looked at other words that are related to that. I don't know if you can see that very well. but there are other words there, like grateful, like obliged, like, oh, I should have put this on my notes, actually. There are other words up there that kind of describe what it means to be thankful. And for me, the word that kind of, I guess, encapsulates what I'm trying to get across is really more about being obliged. It's being indebted, right? We are indebted to Christ for something that we just can't pay, right? He's given us what we don't deserve and we can't earn, right? And so because of that, we just have to be thankful, right? We just have to be grateful because he's given us so much, right? So I kind of want to leave us with this sort of last verse that I've got here. And it comes from Romans 8, 31 to 32. And it says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? If God gave us his son, will he not also with him give us all that we need? That's such a powerful description of the truth, right? This is you know, this is God's word. This is the truth. The reality is God's given us so much by giving us his son. So now, when I look at the words that say, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, I kind of understand now that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and will guide your minds in Christ Jesus. I'm just hoping and praying that this can be the mark of Jubilee. This can be the mark of our church, that we can be characterized as thankful people, that we can be characterized as grateful people. Right, that we can push through on this one and really sort of embrace what God's calling us to live. We're living a worry-free life. We've got a message that's fantastic because you can take your worries to the one who can actually do something about it, you know? So when I remember that song and it says, why worry, worry, worry when you can pray? And I kind of want to change it to why worry, worry, worry when you can pray, pray, pray. So for every worry, there should be a pray and everything. And that helps us to be free and it helps us to be thankful. It helps us to live the life that God is actually calling us to, because that's what he's calling us to. He's calling us to a life of freedom in him. So I'm going to read that last verse one more time. I think it's important for it to kind of like sink into us. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? I just want to lastly kind of say this, right? I know, and I want to make it quite clear that we all kind of find ourselves in different situations, right? And I want to be clear today that I'm not kind of trying to minimize how it feels to be in that position of fear and stress and anxiety. I don't want you to think that, you know, we're all at the end of that journey. We're all on different parts of that journey. So I recognize that there'll be people who kind of need prayer at this point, you know, for speaking into those situations, for God's peace to sustain us as we're in that situation. Or, you know, if you are someone who doesn't even know God's peace and hasn't experienced God's peace, then, you know, we'd love to kind of encourage you to kind of come alongside, you know, Dave or someone else to pray through that as well, because God is offering us, and that's the great bit. So I kind of want to leave us with the verse 7 bit. So don't forget the verse 7 bit, okay? I don't want us to kind of get a downer on all this, because it's not actually a downer at all, because in verse 7, it makes it clear that it's the peace of God that passes all understanding that will guard our hearts and minds. So we get peace in the middle of our storms. We get peace because God gives us his peace. So by praying, by bringing those things to him, he then gives us, in exchange for that, peace to be able to get through those situations and get through all of that as well. So, yeah, if anyone needs prayer, Dave's here, and the elders are here to pray. But I just thought I'd encourage us all with that to say we can stay positive by staying thankful because we've got a lot to be thankful about. Thank you.